We're going to continue in worship with a reading of scripture here. I'll be reading from 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 18 through 21. It's the last few verses of 1 John. It says, "We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who was born of God protects them. We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who was born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. We know that we are God's children and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Chapter ends. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place to lean upon one another as we walk and work through this life together on this journey. Lord, we know that we go through both joys and challenges in this life, and we're grateful that we're not alone. And we're grateful that you are with us and help us to overcome any and all that we go through, and give us hope for a future with you. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So I think to really understand these last few verses of 1 John chapter 5, that it's important to understand the book as it leads up to these closing reminders from John. The book is really short. It's only just a couple pages, literally. And so I was just like, went back and read through all of 1 John as I was preparing for this sermon. 1 John starts out reminding the people of the incarnation of the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. John, who was one of the disciples of Jesus, reminds the people that which the disciples heard and saw at work in the world and touched, and who gives himself and gives us eternal life. Goes on to talk about how God is light, so as we have a relationship with Christ, we walk in the light of Jesus, and through Christ, we are purified from all of our sin, but not only our sin, but as chapter 2, verse 2 says, but also for the sins of the whole world. Friends, our faithfulness to Jesus is not just a one-time decision, but it's a lifelong practice as we seek to follow God's word. We have to be intentional about our relationship with Jesus and not become complacent as we seek to live as Jesus did in the world. And throughout the book of 1 John, we're reminded that there are many spirits and other things that will seek to draw us away from the Spirit of Christ. And it's important for us to listen for and to the Spirit of Christ. In chapter 3, it goes on to talk about a life transformed by Christ is signified by turning away from a life of sin and by walking in the ways of God. And so we experience this through the life of Jesus and through the testimony of Jesus in the New Testament as he frequently called his disciples towards a life of repentance from sin and a commitment to a new way of living. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, it says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In chapter 4, especially the second part of chapter 4, these are some of my favorite words in all of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, starting really in verse 7. I really seek to lead my life in this type of way in ministry. In chapter 4, we really come to know that our actions are a response to God's love, a love that was first shown to us. As God sent his only one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And it's since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. As I lead ministry, those words are foundational for me. Since God first loved me and you, we ought to love one another. Period. It says, for God is love. And friends, since we've been given the Spirit of God, we've been given the Spirit of love, and there's no fear in love. We love because God first loved us and has given us the commandment to love one another. And so after all of these four short chapters of 1 John, John comes to these closing words of the book, these closing reminders for the people. His closing words are not fearful words, but they're pastoral words. They are loving reminder of an elder saying to the church, stay close to Jesus. Guard your heart. Don't give away what belongs to God. You see, we find our identity and our security as believers in Christ and as we live in this world, it's important that we're reminded often to stay closely rooted in Christ. In verse 18, chapter 5, it highlights that those who are born of God are kept safe by him, and the evil one cannot harm them. This assurance provides us comfort and strength as we navigate through the challenges and temptations of this world. That those born of God are kept safe by him, and the evil one cannot harm them. It reminds me of those words of Psalm 23. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We're kept safe by a God of love. In verse 20, it shifts to affirm the significance of Jesus as the Son of God who gives us understanding and reveals truth to humanity. We gain that truth as we follow and draw near to God. We follow and we find our identity and purpose with God. Then finally, as we close out this series in the month of July, as we've been talking about staying focused in God and not being drawn towards idols, this passage concludes with another exhortation to avoid idols. Have you noticed how many times this has come up in Scripture? And I've just talked about it 4 weeks, and you're probably like, 4 weeks has been too many. But yeah, it's been an ongoing thing and a reminder throughout the Scriptures to avoid idols. It seems like it was important warning against anything that may replace God in a believer's life. Many people imagine idolatry as a dramatic act of abandoning God, but more often it happens slowly. One compromise, one misplaced trust, one unchecked ambition, until one day we discover that something else has taken God's place. We live in a challenging world that often feels that it sways towards evil and is often opposed to the values and principles of God's kingdom. And it would be much easier to just go with the flow of things and to look the other way. And yet, brothers and sisters, we are called to strive to live out our faith and be different. We are called to move toward justice for all and overcome oppression. We are called to love instead of hate. We are called to seek a better life for all people and not just ourselves. For all people to be fed and clothed and housed and loved. And so, friend, in a world full of distractions and false promises, we're reminded again and again and again to guard our hearts and remain devoted to God alone. And by doing so, we ensure that nothing takes God's place. I don't know about you, but we don't go to many stores anymore, except maybe the grocery store, and even that is usually a pickup. Most of our shopping is online. I don't remember the last time that I've actually been inside a mall and walked around a mall just to do so. If I do go to a mall, it's usually I focused on one store to get something quickly. However, the other day, Levi wanted to go to Best Buy to look for a writing device for his tablet. And after we looked at those devices, he's like, let's just walk around for a minute. Maybe this is a sign of my age, that I'm getting older, but I became really overwhelmed at all of the stuff in Best Buy. It's like a virtual world up in there. There are so many screens, 3D printers, VR, everything. We can become super lazy and not do anything. And even more so, we can become in our own little world without seeing anything else. To see only what we want to see. And it's going to become even worse in the years to come. I don't think the scripture is going to go away. It's going to be more important than ever to be intentional about making sure we keep Christ at the center of who we are as children of God by remaining focused on greater than our little world. And we do that by loving God and by loving our neighbor first and foremost. For you see, love is a reflection of God's nature within us. And so these reminders for us from 1 John, as he talked about God as love, that God is light. Friends, let us continue to love one another and let the love of God guide us as we journey forward in our walk with Jesus towards service and worship. And so as we finish this time together and this series that we've been talking about, I invite you once again, what is competing with God in your life? For your heart, for your time, for your social media posts, for your resources? Where's God calling you? Be reminded to put him first. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for an opportunity to worship you as a community of faith, to be reminded of who you are and who we are and our relationship with you as we seek to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. So God, continue to guard our hearts as we focus on you as we share your love with the world around us. Lead us as we seek to draw closer to you each and every day. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.